service today, yesterday, seeking the face of the Lord, had me locked down on some scriptures. And in this day and time, you know, I've often heard people say that, well, that preacher just preaches the same thing over and over and over again. Well, that's the only thing preachers have been preaching, is the same. If they're a man of God, they've been preaching the same message since Christ came and he left, been preaching the same message. When a man tries to change the message or to make it fit people's lifestyles, that man's doing a disservice unto the people. Yeah, it's the Lord that does the preaching, and God sends his message. In today's time, I would love to be able to give one of them big motivational speeches, as some folks like to hear. I'd love to be able to give them feel-good messages that folk like to hear. And I hear preachers all the time say, I don't care if anybody likes me or not. Well, I care if folk like me. I care. You know, I want folks to be able to hear the words that God sends through me. I don't want to have a I don't want to be like no porcupine. I've met plenty of Christians or so-called Christians, it's like a porcupine. As long as you keep your distance from them, you're all right. But you get close, you'll get stuck. And but I'm glad to know this today. God's word is true. It's still true. And I've said it many times before. In today's time, in 2015, we don't have time to beat around the bush. We got to give you exactly what God's given us. And I've heard some people say, give what God give you, and let the rest fall where it may. But I'll say this today. If you need something from the Lord, you'll get it in this message. And I was amazed at this when it finally sunk into me. It's amazing how God can preach a message through the man, but it can touch hearts all over the congregation. And you might get what you need, James, and might hear something that Sister Becky wasn't looking for, but she got what she needed. And the Bible says that God will send his word out, and it will not return unto him void, but it'll serve the purpose for which he sent. Some of these messages is to draw folks, and these messages to save folk, to strengthen folk. But I'd be amiss to say that some of these messages condemn folk. And the one thing that people don't realize, because time has moved on and rolled on and rolled on, they think that the things that preachers say don't come to pass. And I had to say this. I was back there meditating and was in the office and things before we was getting ready. Want to be prepared. You know, I thought about this, and I learned this from my pastor. Congregation deserves the man of God to be ready, Brother Ronnie Combs, and have a message. And as I was back here, I said, Lord, this is a very serious message. And but if you think about it, every message from the Lord is serious. So I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I covet your prayers. You pray for me. I want to read one verse. I'm going to read one verse, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, I'm going to read verse number 22. Verse number 22. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 22. I'll say it one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 22. I got to say it a bunch just in case if I put other numbers in front of Corinthians and after. I'm bad sometimes not getting the right numbers out right. If you got 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, say amen. Amen. If you ain't got it by now, just look off your neighbor. And this is what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. I'm going to read it one more time. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Lord, this morning one more time. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for mercy, and thank you for your word. But, oh, God, I pray today, Lord, the seriousness of today's time and today's this being the day that you have made. Lord, Father, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that you've made. And, God, may I pray today, Father, that we be mindful of it. Pray for hearts, pray for mind, pray for our flesh, Lord, not just mine, but everybody's, Lord, that we not rely upon our mind thinking, but we rely upon what your Spirit speaks to our heart. Many times, Lord Father, and I know you know it more than I do, many times you spoke to some of the people that's here today. Many times, Lord, you spoke to me, and God, in times past, and Lord, I would not hearken unto your words. But Lord, I pray today this would be the day that folk would hearken to your words, and that God, today would be the best day of their life, and maybe the new day, the beginning of something new and brand new in their life. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I have not come across these scriptures in quite some time, as in a message or meditating wise. And I guess some folks may not know what anathema maranatha means. But the Apostle Paul, if I can get to the first part, he said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, if any man not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I say this and remind everybody that in today's day and time, the word love is thrown about so carelessly. And can I say this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there's some people who will tell you, and some people who really do, I believe they do, they'll love an animal more than they'll love a human being. They'll love more of a creature than they would the Creator. Can I say this today? There's people that love endangered species of animals more than they do the fetus in the womb of a mother. And some people don't like that, but it's still biblically true. Some folks care more for a spotted owl than they do for a baby that's about ready to be born. Some folks say that the reason why that we do the things that we do nowadays is for science and for this or for that. And we have to preserve and we have to keep everything that we have alive because we just plan on living forever. Well, I got news for all those people. And if you're here today, and don't get me wrong, I love animals too, but I don't love them like I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love animals, but I don't dare love them like I do. I love my wife. I love animals, but I don't love them like I do my babies, my boys, and my girls. And I dare don't love them as much as I love you. And some people don't understand that today, but in today's time, all you have to do is look around. If you can tell if somebody loves the Lord Jesus Christ, is if they love their fellow man. And can I go even farther than that? You can tell if somebody loves the Lord Jesus Christ, is if they love the fellow saved man. I'll even go a little bit farther than that. You can tell if folks love the Lord Jesus Christ, if they love the people they go to church with. And can I say in today's time, there's more so now than ever that the message has to be preached that you got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't love Him, I'm telling you, there's no way you'll make it out of this life and getting to a place called heaven. I believe if we was to take a poll today and ask everybody just who believes they're going to hell, and then nobody would probably say, well, I believe I'm a going. I ain't saying everybody would agree. Me, but I would definitely say that a lot of folks would say, I don't think I'm going to hell, preacher. I'm thinking I'm going to heaven. Well, there's a way you can stop the thinking, and there's a way that you can get to the knowing. And getting to the knowing is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about love Him as you do your dog or your cat, or love your birds or your cattle or your horses or things of that nature. But I'm talking about loving Him with a pure love, knowing that if it was not for Him, there would be no you. And I was thinking about this today, about how that the love, the Bible says, the love of many shall wax cold. And I got to thinking about when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've said this here recently, and when it comes to the church, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I remember them taking a poll, and it says the reason why men are so much, not as much inclined to be wanting to be in a relationship is because they're afraid of commitment. But can I say today, when it comes to the human race or to the today's man in 2015, now I can't speak for whoever lives in Virginia or Michigan or in Kentucky, but I know they can't be that much different, but I can't speak for those and speak for the area that I live in. There's a lot of people who's afraid to commit themselves unto the Lord. And can I say this today? There's a hard time of understanding a love that people have for the Lord Jesus Christ. when they will not commit themselves unto him. Can I say this? I don't know how awkward it would have been for me and my wife as we stood there at the altar and we gave our lives one to another to share till death do us part, and her not commit to me and I not commit to her. I do believe we wouldn't have lasted as long as we have. Don't get me wrong. I believe there's people here today that knows the heartache and the gut-wrenching feeling that it is when you commit yourself unto someone and that other person does not commit and tears your world apart and rips out everything because they would not love you as you love them. Can I get an amen on that? Can I say in today's world, it seems like there's more and more people who don't care about whether or not if they love someone or commit to someone. Can I say today in 2015, I think man has been guilty mainly of getting everything he can as long as people love him and he feels good in his own skin or feels good in his own body. If he knows that people loves him, he really don't care. He really don't care if he loves anybody else or shares anything with them. But can I say, when the Apostle Paul was saying that every man should love the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says it like this, if any man not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. If I can give it to you in the simplest of definitions, I mean, we could have wrote down the big long definitions of each word, but the first word, anathema, means let him be cursed. Let him be cursed. And the second one is at his coming. If a man not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed at his coming. Now, I know there's people looking at me right now that's saying, oh boy, here we go again. But some people are sitting here right now and saying, what do you mean, let me be cursed at his coming? Can I say this? If you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be cursed at his coming. Can I say this today? The Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. And can I say this today? A lot of folks will say, preacher, I've been hearing this all of my life, and he ain't come back yet. I'm glad some of you may have thinking that, because that's exactly what the Lord's put upon my heart. Just because you have not seen him come back in your lifetime, or just because you've heard about him coming back and he ain't came back since, does not mean he's not coming. Somebody say amen. I've shared with you before how something will come up and I'll need to leave work early and I'll go home and I won't call the kids and tell them to be ready because I'm a-coming. I'll just pull in the driveway. Next thing you know, the back doors are swinging wide open and they're going, what are you doing home so early, Dad? We didn't think you was coming home till about 4:30. How come you're home so early? Some of them may be scared. I don't know what they was doing while I was gone, but I do know this. That is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't even know when he's a-coming back, but I'm telling you, he's a-coming whether or not you know it or whether or not you believe it, he's still coming. And can I say this today? I've heard some preachers say this, and I never would comment on it, but I have to believe it has to be somewhat true. I think God's getting fed up with the way the world is going. I think God's getting fed up with the sin, how it keeps getting magnified and grows and grows and grows. Now, some people might say, yeah, preacher, I agree with you. The way them people's doing them things out there and the way the people's doing them things out there, and they always want to point at the world and point at the one who they believe to be knee-deep or neck deep in sin, but they never want to look at their own sins and look at their own lives and seeing how, not just whether or not if they've been stealing, not to see if they've killed anybody, not if they've even been drinking alcohol or doing drugs, but the Bible says if you don't love the Lord Jesus, you'll be cursed at his coming. Paul said, let them be cursed at his coming. Before I get to him coming back, can I remind everybody that Christ paid the price for everyone? A lot of folks will sit there and say, yeah, preacher, I believe that. I believe he died upon the cross. I believe he died for sin and my sin. But can I tell you that? I believed that before I even got saved. But the problem was is that I didn't believe it in my heart and thank him and love him for what he did. When I found out in the depths of my heart, not only did he do it for the world and did it for me, but when it got real personal, when the Spirit passed by my way and grabbed a hold of my heart and let me know just how much he loved me. Can I say, I've had people tell me that God loves me. I've had preachers tell me that God loved me. I had family members tell me that God loved me. And it all felt good, and I liked the way they said it. But Sister Vicky, when God passed by my way in the Holy Ghost and spoke to my heart and says, I love you, I'm telling you, it was totally different than what somebody told me. It's like what the old timers always say, it's better felt than it is to be told. I want you to know something this morning. The Lord loved us so much that he came down and he gave his life upon an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary. If you'll have it, a place called Golgotha in the Hebrew tongue, meaning skull. He gave his life upon a cruel instrument of death. It was a crucifix. He was nailed through his hands and through his feet. No, he was not a sinner. No, he never sinned. Though a lot of people may say that he did. A lot of folks say that he was just a man. But he wasn't just a man. He was 100% man and 100% God. He was not contaminated. There was no sin in his body. Y'all hearing this preacher this morning? I'm preaching on your Savior. If you've been saved, you ought to say a little amen here and there about it being your Savior. If you love him today, you ought to agree with what God's saying. He gave his life for you. He died for you. He allowed to be spit upon, allowed himself to have his whiskers pulled out of his face, the crown of thorns platted upon his head. He allowed himself to be blindfolded. And when they smote it upon his cheek and say, "Who smote thee?" Can I tell you, Jesus knew who was going to smack him before they even blindfolded him. But Jesus took all the punishment. Jesus took all the pain. Jesus took all the shame. Took up all everything that man was going to have to take. And he took it for every man, boy, and girl, and woman. And he did it because he loved us. He did it out of love. They sell the bumper stickers. They sell the t-shirts. They sell the little pictures and they hang them upon the wall. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was the love that he had for us. But sometimes I think we neglect, or sometimes we don't sit and ponder on the thought just how much he loved us. It wasn't just that he loved us. Do you know it wasn't just the nails that he took? But he could have called out 12,000 legions of angels and have him come down and get him off the cross, kill everybody that was around there, get rid of everything, and all of us would be locked up in a prison cell of sin, bound and waiting for hell to be our home. But no, the love that he had in his heart for us, he stayed upon the cross. Amen, that's right. And he could have said, "Father, since me and you's never been apart, since me and you's never been separated, since I've always been in your presence and you've been in my presence, and now the sky's dark, now there's total darkness around the world, and he was separated from God," he could have said, "I don't like this. I'm going to turn the light back on and let everybody else die and go to hell." But no, the love that he had in his heart for you and I, he stayed upon the cross. Y'all hearing this preacher? I mean, he could have done everything. When they gave him the sponge full of vinegar and the gall and everything to drink, he could have blew on that thing and turned into the sweetest and most refreshing cool of water. But no, he took the ridicule as they gambled at his feet for his garment. He could have said, "Yo, folks, gambling's a sin." Hey man, gambling's still a sin. He said, "I could have crushed them," but he let them gamble at his feet. Oh, can I tell you the love that he had for you and I? He done it for you. He loved you. He still loves you. And he doesn't have to do it no more because he done it once and for all. And it's good enough for you if you allow him in your heart. The big difference is that you've got to love him for it. I hear people all the time saying, God loves me. God loves me. And he does. He does. He does. But do you love him? Do you love him? I've said this before and I'll say it again. I can tell my wife. I can tell Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'll put it to you this way. I can tell Mount Zion Baptist Church, "I love you. I love you. I love you." But if I don't show up on Sunday morning and the congregation's looking for the pastor to bring a message and they say, "Where's the pastor at?" "Oh, he went deer hunting." How much love do you think the pastor really has for his congregation? Let me put it to you this way. Let's say, "Oh, I can say I love Mount Zion Baptist Church, but I don't show up on a Sunday evening." And you say, "Boy, the preacher out on Sunday evening. Oh, he's tailgating down in Cincinnati because the Bengals are playing a home game and it's on primetime television." How much love do you think I'm showing that way? Don't you all look at me that way. I ain't ready to pray yet. Don't put your head down. How about if it was on a Wednesday night? I had people tell me this before. Don't you all get mad at me. I'm just preaching. I got offered University of Kentucky tickets to go to Lexington at Rupp Arena on a Wednesday night. Numerous times. And people said, "Preacher, are you going?" I said, "No, I ain't going." They said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'd rather be in church on a Wednesday night." They said, "You're crazy. You're not a true fan." Well, if that means I'm a true fan to skip out on God, take a vacation from God, take a vacation from my church, and just say I love him, but not show him I love him, I'm a hypocrite. The Bible says, don't love in word, but in deed and in truth do you love the Lord Jesus Christ. So many times people say, well, preacher, I'm not the pastor. Well, and I know you're not, but you're still just as important to the church as the pastor is. You're just as important to Jesus as the pastor is, because not only did Jesus die for the pastor, but he also died for you. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Sinner friend, do you love him? Do you not know that he loves you so much that he surrendered it all? Think about this. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. From the very beginning, and there even wasn't a beginning. We say in the beginning, but there never really was a beginning. There's no beginning to the Alpha and the Omega. They are the beginning. Woo! But I'm telling you, they've never, ever, ever been separated. They've never, ever been separated. Can you imagine this? In the presence of angels, in the presence of the heavenly host, they're hollering out, holy, holy, holy. They're crying out, praising him and praising him and praising him. But he would don on the garment of flesh to come down amongst the people, being born of the people and with the people, then leave the cause of heaven for the praises to be shouted, for them to shout, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He went from the place where they said, I love you, to a place where they said, away with him. And the Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many of them that have received him, gave he them the power to become the sons of God. Even them, that's you and me, that believe on his name. He just didn't die back then and said, I'm going to die for the people that's here. But he looked down throughout the annals of time and said, I see Eddie Combs. I see Christian Faulkner. I see Tom Melton. I see Don McCurry. I'm dying for them because I love them. Do you love him today? You said, preacher, you don't understand what I have to go through to show him my love. I understand what you have to go through. I'm not trying to be funny. But I remember growing up in school, and I even look now, and hear people talking about it, and they say, "Well, look at that girl over there. Oh, she ain't all that pretty. She doesn't look the type. How about that guy over here? No. He ain't hip. He's not popular. They judge everything on the cover. On the cover. And everybody judges everything on the cover of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, he died on the cross. He died on the cross." But it was the love in his heart that he had for all of us that made it all possible. Can I say he paid for your sin? He fulfilled the debt of your sin? One. He appeased the wrath of God? Two. Because of your sin, God's wrath was supposed to be upon us. And the Bible said he gave himself, he that knew no sin became sin, and he appeased God's wrath. That we were not righteous, we're made in the righteousness of God through him, to him. And thirdly, not only did he satisfy the sin debt, and he satisfied the wrath of God, but he satisfied the curse of God. Y'all hearing this, preacher? The Bible says, according to the law, that there is a curse that resteth upon the people. And just because Christ came and fulfilled the law doesn't mean the law's gone. The law is still in effect. It's made for the unrighteous. It's made for the ungodly, for men stealers, for murderers, for sinners. The law is still in effect. It is our schoolmaster. It lets us know we have fallen short. It is the knowledge of sin, and it leads us to Christ. But there's a curse that comes with this law. If you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, and at his coming you will be cursed, the curse will still fall upon you. Even though Jesus died upon the cross and fulfilled the curse, that it'll be your turn to take it. When Jesus died upon the cross, he spent time in hell. And I've had many a preacher says, nope, Jesus never went to hell. And they always think of going to a place where there's a flame and there's a devil with horns and a pitchfork. But the Bible says, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, there's outer darkness and the absence of love and the absence of God. When Christ was upon the cross, the Bible says there was darkness upon the face of the earth. He was separated from God. He could not feel the love of his Father. That's why he cried out, instead of saying, Father, he cried out from the flesh and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was paying for the curse that lieth upon every person's head. But if you love him, commit yourself to him, if you commit your life unto him, you ain't got to worry about the curse. Amen. That should make a bunch of us happy. I'll tell you from the depths of my heart, I wasn't going to preach on this. This ain't in the notes, Brother Tom. This is all coming from the Lord. Can I say this? I had no idea salvation was what it was when I got saved. When I got saved, I just said, all right, Lord, if you want my life to be over with, I won't do nothing no more. I won't have no fun. I'll go to church and I'll miss the football games. I'll sing the sad songs and say the sad prayers. But Vicky, when God saved my soul, it was a world I did not know that existed. Bless his name. There was a life that was there waiting on me that I did not know it was waiting all along that I could have. What it was the knowing that somebody was there for me. Not just saying that they loved me, but he's proved his love o'er and o'er and o'er. He's been through every deep valley. He's been in every highest of hills. He's been through every storm. He's been through every midnight with me. Oh, if anybody I know for a fact loves me, I know Jesus loves me. He's going all the way with me. I felt him beside me, and I'm going to the end of this day with him. He loves me. But do you love him today? Do you love him today? The Bible says when Paul said, let them be anathema maranatha, he says, let them be accursed. Because if you don't love him today, this is what you're doing. God, I could care less about your son. Preacher, you have no right to say that. It's not my right that I'm saying it. I'm telling you what God said. They careth not that the blood of Jesus Christ, they trample it underfoot. They don't love him. They could care less about him. And can I say this? This might be kind of hurtful for some folks to hear, but some of y'all's lifestyles that you keep on living and you say you love the Lord Jesus Christ, your actions speak louder than your words. Don't get me wrong. I've had people say, well, preacher, are they lost? No, I'm not the one who hands out salvation. But I do give you what the Bible says. I don't find no gray area in the Bible. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Some folks get upset and say, well, preacher, you got to put in a gray area or you run people off. Hey, I'm not the one doing the preaching. And if God says there's no gray area, the black and white area belongs to the Lord. The gray area belongs to Satan. He wants to mix it up. He wants to blend it in to keep you confused and keep you from committing your whole life and committing your heart to Jesus Christ, the one true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who loved you and gave his life for you. And he still loves you. Oh, don't get me wrong. Me and Brother Jeff was talking. I got my backside tan this past week because God was just letting me know. He said, suck it up, bub. Pick up your bottom lip and quit trampling on it. Stop your pity partying. And you got to realize that everybody goes through hard times. Everybody goes through difficulties. Everybody goes through a fight and a storm and a battle. But it's who's there with you knowing that you're going to come out on the other side. It's because he loves you. We ought to prove and show that we love him. The Bible says it's them that show it in deed and in truth are them that love him. And I know sometimes people say, well, preacher, you're just going to have to bear with me. It's not me that's got to bear with you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. Brother Ronnie, I could pack my bags and leave. God will bless you guys with another pastor. He'll send me on down the road. It's not me. It's not me that's asking where your love is. It's him. I don't think I would have jumped on that cross for it. Maybe some. I'm saying maybe. But I know, Jerry, I wouldn't have jumped on for everybody. I wouldn't have jumped on for no Saddam Hussein. I wouldn't have jumped on for no Muammar Gaddafi. I wouldn't have jumped on for Charles Manson. I wouldn't have jumped on for the drug addict. I would have jumped on for the alcoholic. Let me get you where y'all get y'all high and mighty. I would have jumped on for the rapist. I wouldn't have died for the pedophile. I wouldn't have died for the molester. And sometimes we forget, when Jesus died for all sin, he died for it all. Amen. And he loved them. You saying, preacher, am I just as bad as them? I'm not telling you just as bad as them. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Instead of trying to figure out whose sin's worse, you best figure out and realize that your sin's got to get underneath that blood and say, I love you, Lord. Here's my life. Do you love him? If you don't love him, you're cursed at his coming. I want to say this today in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 37. The Bible says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. What he's saying is when I come, I'm not waiting on you all. I couldn't tell you how many times I heard somebody said, well, preacher, I believe it. I believe what you're saying, but I'm going to wait till he comes back. And when he comes back, then I'm going to ask God to forgive me. The Bible says he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a trump of God. And when he comes back, bam, that's it. You ain't going to have time to fall upon your knees. You ain't going to have time to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for cheating on my spouse. Forgive me for looking at the nasty things. Forgive me for spreading lies and cussing and drinking or doing this or doing that. You won't be able to list your sins. You won't even be able to say, Lord, all I'm going to tell you is when he comes back, it's over. He that's going to come ain't going to tarry. He ain't going to wait on us. You've got to be ready when he does come. James 5 and verse 8 says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You better get her fixed up. You better set your heart upon the Lord. And then you might be thinking, man, you're so high and mighty standing up there in your position. What about your heart? Well, I'm glad you thought of that. I'm just minding the Lord. I gotta get my heart fixed and established on him too. I find it hard to believe sometimes that I'm the only one who's got faults. I've heard people, Greg, I've got faults. I'll confess them. I've got faults. But it's not as much as me confess them to you. The Bible says just confess them one to another that you may be strengthened. But too many times people don't even confess them to the Lord, and he knows our faults. Be sure your sins will find you out. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Huh? Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work, as his work shall be. He's coming back. He's coming back. And some people might say, well, I've done some good works. He's not based upon those works. He's coming back and looking at the work that's been done in here. He that begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the end. Some of you right now are having hard times and difficult times, and you're saving. The reason why you're having difficult times is because you're frustrating the grace of God. You still think you can have one foot out in the world. You still think you can live in some things and dabble in sin and think everything's all right. It's called the chastening of God. I know how you can get out of that predicament. It's called come, repent, repent, repent. First of all, he's coming. Second of all, let me tell you how it's going to be like. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 36 through 39. It says, but the day and the hour knoweth no man. First of all, we don't know what time he's coming. We just know that he's coming. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God the Father is the only one who knows when God the Son is coming. But as the days of it was of Noah, where so shall it also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Lord of the Son of Man be. Them people didn't realize what was going on. They didn't know what. They just thought it was that crazy preacher running his mouth for all those years. And sometimes we get discouraged, but can I remind everybody, in the days of Noah, the only one that got saved around his preaching, I don't know who all heard his preaching, but I do know all who was saved in the preaching. And that was his wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws. Nobody else got on that ark, Sister Shirley. And some people says, well, preacher, ain't too many people getting saved. Sounds like the days of Noah to me. And the days of Noah, the Bible says, when God looked down and looked in the heart of man, he said, the man's heart is evil continually. It sounds like today's day. Tell me if we ain't got it backwards now. We're trying to pass marijuana. We done passed gambling. We got a disease that's very highly addictive and kills people, and we sell them on the shelf, and it's called alcohol. We got folks that's got a disclaimer on the gambling that says, if you got a gambling problem, call this number. But if you don't think you got a gambling problem, come on down to the riverboat and spend your money. Meanwhile, baby, little Junior and little Susie's at home starving, needing something to eat. When daddy or mommy's out blowing the money at the gambling casino, or then the drugs and the pills and everything gets pushed their way by the doctors. Nowadays, it used to be that our Congress and our political officials that were elected, they would pray and they would seek the face of God for the leadership of the state or the county or the country. And now they've banned praying altogether. They said you ain't allowed to pray in a government or in a school prayer in school. But it's under my belief that if they let people still pray in school and not pitch a fit, a lot of these young kids that get wrapped up in the things of sin may not get wrapped up in them if praying was at home and praying was at school. Nowadays it looks out and it says, well, you know, it's them right wingers, it's them ultra conservative, it's them loudmouth preachers, it's them old ones that stuck in back in the 1800s and 1700s and the 1600s. It's them old loudmouth people, it's them old people that just still sticks to the old time way and still clings to their guns and to their Bibles. Amen, I still cling. And you better cling too. I've never seen so much in my days of my life. Jeremiah says that they couldn't even blush. And people ain't blushing now. They don't blush now because of their sins. But the Bible says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. This is what he's saying. He's not coming around midnight, knocking on our door. Ain't that what we talked about? Me and Tammy talked about this before. He's not coming, knocking on the door and saying, hey, come on, y'all, we're leaving. No. What he's saying in the time that you wouldn't think that he would come, he's coming. Y'all hear me? I've heard people say, well, he ain't going to come yet because I didn't get things right. He's not waiting on you to get right to come. You've got to be right when he comes. Y'all hearing this, preacher? In the same chapter, in Matthew 24, and verses 42 through 44, it says, watch ye therefore, for you know not the hour the Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. I read an article in the paper, or not in the paper, but I read it on the internet, this news article. I saw something about it, and I went back, and I didn't hear no more information on it, but I got the full story. South Carolina, there's a 13-year-old boy at home. And he's there during the day. Mom's at work. And these two heathen, and I'll call them heathen, come cruising through town looking for a place to hold down for a while. And they saw this house where no activity. They spotted this house. They was watching this house. And during the day, they thought, well, we'll just slide in the back. They slid in the back, and they began to try to kick the door down. And that 13-year-old boy was home, and he was by himself. His mama raised him and says, whatever you do, get to 911, call 911. She says, but if you can't get to the 911, you better get to Colt 45. And that boy went and got to Colt 45. They kicked open the door, and he let off three rounds and hit one of them. With three rounds, with 45. They took off running. That boy took off running and used the rest of the ammo on the car. He didn't know it, but there was going to be evidence. They knew what car they was driving. One man lived and the other one didn't. And you know what they said? It was wrong for that boy to do that. In Detroit, in the city of Detroit, a woman's got security cameras up at her house. And during the daylight hours, I don't know what time it was exactly, but they got it on video. Three heathen are trying to kick her door down. And she's there, just her and her babies. So she hollers out, I've got a gun, I've got a gun. You know what they said? You ain't got one. They kicked open the door. Bless God, she had one. And she went to firing. You should have seen them scattering. Y'all hearing this, preacher? They did not know who was going to show up. Now, you might be thinking right now, preacher, are you pro-gun? Do you have to ask?
And for all you pacifists who said Jesus was a pacifist, go ask him what he told the disciples to do. He said, sell your cloak and go buy you a sword. Amen. Protect yourself. Guard your family. But a pastor's wife in Indianapolis with a one-year-old boy pregnant, didn't have no gun, kicked the door down and shot her in the head and killed her. She didn't know what time they was going to break in. She didn't know. In today's day and time, I'm hearing about people's getting their doors kicked down over and around our area. They're getting kicked down over up in Lebanon and over in Franklin, over in Hamilton, all over the place. People's gone mad. Sin's running wild. As it was in the days of Noah. Can I share something with you? My mind's been racing for the past 3 months. If anybody's ever been to my house, know my garage sits kind of a ways off the driveway. I'm walking around and I look down and I find a Marlboro cigarette butt in my driveway. You said, preacher, what's the big deal about a Marlboro cigarette butt? Ain't nobody around the house smokes. Ain't no one smoking. And the people I do know smoke, ain't nobody been around my house. Somebody said, well, it could have blowed up from the road. Man, it gonna blow all the way up that hill, past all that hedge, past all that grass. You can think what you want. Somebody's snooping around. Preacher, you're paranoid. You know what? I'd rather be cautious and be prepared so my wife and kids is safe. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Don't y'all, I'm not, you can do what you want with your home. I'm talking about my home. I'm going to guard my wife and kids. And if I got to guard them to the fullest of the potential that the Constitution gives me, then I will, because I love my wife and my kids. Now, if you knew what hour them guys was going to break in your house, wouldn't you get prepared? Some folks would leave and say, I'm just not going to confront it. Some folks could arm themselves. Some folks get a couple of them pit bulls, feed them raw steak for about 3 or 4 months, and say, you come on right in and video it. Some folks would even booby-trap the house and fill it full of explosives. If you knew what hour that the thief, if you knew what hour that person was going to come and take your kid, hey, mama, if you knew what hour somebody's going to try to take your kid, wouldn't you be ready for it? But can I say something this morning? Jesus is coming back. And there's only one way you can be prepared when he's coming back. Don't wait till he shows up and say, God, I need you to forgive me for this, for this, for this. No, 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 no. You won't have time. Don't wait till the sky splits and the cloud appears. You won't have time. What should I do, preacher? Saint and sinner alike. The saints and the ain'ts need to get on their knees and say, oh God, have mercy on me and forgive me of my sins. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. If you love not the Lord, then you'll be cursed at his coming. So many times I see in today's days, and I want to say this, and I hope everybody gets this. Some folks has gotten this. Not, but I'm saying a lot of folks haven't, but some folks here has got this. God keeps extending out the hand of mercy to you over and over and over again. And while you won't grab hold of that hand of mercy, there's only one reason why you don't. And I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you what this Bible says. It says you don't love Christ. Preacher, have you ever been guilty of not loving Christ? I'm going to stand right here and tell you I have been guilty of it. Because some of the things that I've done in my life before and after I was saved. If I treated my wife, there's been times I've ignored him. When I ignore my wife, she gets it right in my face. You got a problem? Something wrong with you? I go, ain't nothing wrong. She goes, I know something's wrong. But since the Lord knows me better than she does, he knows if I love him or not. He knows if there's something wrong or not. And the thing that I love about the Lord Jesus Christ, he don't wait on you. He'll come to you. He wants to help you. I wonder today if you love him. Don't get caught up in the time. I was going to have a lot more to preach, but I'm done. I want to hit this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says he's coming back. And this time when he's coming, judgment's fallen. Judgment's fallen on the quick and the dead. The quick is the alive, those that have been made alive in Christ. Judgment comes at his appearing and his kingdom. That's what Paul told Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4:1. But in 2 Peter, it says that many of them scoffed and said, you know, we've been hearing about this Jesus coming back, Jesus coming, just like it was. He ain't, you know, since the floods of the day of Noah, he ain't come back. He ain't coming. But Peter said, 1,000 years with the Lord is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. Let me hit you with something. The oldest man in the Bible was who? Methuselah. How old was he, Eddie? 969 years. Not 1,000. Now, if you went totally technically by those words, that's not even a day to the Lord. Methuselah wasn't even a day old to the Lord. And he lived 969 years. Some people might say, and I understand this, and some people say, well, since the creation, it's 5,000 years. That's not even a week with the Lord. So how soon is he coming? The day that Adam and Eve was in the garden and Eve sinned, she said, the day I eat that fruit thereof, the day I shall surely die. And Satan said, he lied to her and said, you ain't going to die this day. You ain't going to die this day. Satan lied to her. She died that day. She wasn't as old as Methuselah. She died that day. What Scripture is saying, 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years, what it's saying is God don't observe time like we do. God don't have a calendar marked on the calendar saying, I hope everybody's ready by December 21st, 2012. Because, you know, the minds, they got her down right. And so everybody's ready to go at that time. Today could be the day that he comes back. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Don't fall asleep on me. Today could be the day. But I wonder today, do you love him? I'm not giving you a way to escape from it. I'm not going to say, I ain't going to change my words and say, well, maybe you love. No, I'm not changing my words. I'm giving you what God's telling me to give you. Do you love him today? Do you love him? Because if you don't, you're cursed that is coming. I wonder right now what would happen if he was to come back now. What would you do? Would you try? Would you get up and run to the altar? If you knew he was coming in the next 5 minutes, would you jump up and run to the altar? You may think I'm crazy, but I think he's coming in the next 5 minutes. Preacher, you're a nut job. You're right, I am. Well, if he don't come next 5 minutes, Jerry, then it's the next 5 minutes. I am prepared for him to come now. Preacher, do you love him like you think you should? No. No, I don't. But I want to. So I ask him to forgive me. Every day, I ask him to forgive me before I got up. You need to ask him to forgive you too.